Listen to the voices of our world.
The vast majority of young people in this nation are at risk. That being said, what we feel is that there are additional pressures, additional forms of oppression that black and brown children face in this country.
Our organization is now 11 years old, and we've got over 100, I guess it is, alumni now who are out in the world, and many of them are doing really incredible things with their lives.
Some of these young people, you know, they can handle anything in the urban, you know, the urban environment. They can walk through Brooklyn, they can walk through Harlem and handle anything. You put them in the middle of the woods, and they hear twig crack, and they're running, and that's part of being a child.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. If you think you had it tough when you were a kid, imagine what it must be like for today's youth. Not only do they have to still deal with the old problems like homework and parents, they also have to worry about having the newest cell phone, the hottest video game, and the coolest sneakers. And we wonder why today's kids are so stressed. But in reality, these are the lucky ones. Many of today's youth are suffering through situations that even many adults couldn't handle. This is especially true in America's poor urban areas, where the life of an inner-city youth can be often bleak and seldom hopeful. Yet despite the negativity and the despair that often plagues America's poor urban neighborhoods, there are many substantial examples of people and organizations striving to make positive contributions to their community and their people. Voices of Our World is proud to feature such an example on today's program. Brotherhood Sister Soul is a nonprofit organization based in New York City that for 12 years has dedicated itself to helping the youth of Harlem build character and to overcome the obstacles that continue to hold back so many of our youth. We are joined today by Brotherhood Sister Soul co-founders Jason Warwin and Carrie Lazar White and Associate Director Cedra Sebastian.
Now, I see how young you are once again, and I'm so impressed with this organization and how beautiful this townhouse is. Just give me a little information about your backgrounds. Was education something your family stressed, or was there any history of activism in your family or in your educations that may have led you to start such a wonderful organization?
For me, my parents are both educators, musicians, and artists. My father is a teacher and a musician. My mother's an artist and a social worker. And the importance of education was always something that was stressed, but also just that in every day, everything that you do, you can also always affect somebody in a positive way. And whether it was lending a helping hand, reaching out to someone who might be dealing with some type of turmoil or issue, that was always something that was a family affair.
Yeah, same here. My parents were both really involved in education as well as social action. I think my earliest influences were my parents being heavily involved in my school's parent association and then also in the local community school boards. And so I grew up kind of seeing that model in my own home of folks kind of taking responsibility for our community and trying to do things to make it a better place. And that always was something that inspired me to want to do the same. And so in my own educational background, I really pursued a study of my own history and culture, as well as a study of how organizations develop and how to run those organizations to improve your community.
I think we all share in some ways a similar, you know, upbringing, being raised in families where our political awareness from a very young age was important to our parents. Our education was important to our parents. Our love for learning and social activism was important to our parents. And I know for myself that, you know, I feel like the work that I do is part of a family legacy. On both sides of my family, people involved very deeply in the South and in the civil rights movement, and also my family, people being involved in the socialist, left in this country. And that from both of those movements and people who were union activists and union organizers and people who were both demonstrating and protesting and really seeking freedom in this country, that those are shoulders very immediately that I stand on, and then also just the legacy of struggle in this country. And so from a young age, you know, I was raised to believe that not only is it possible to make change, but it's our duty to try to make this world a better place, to try to seek change in this society, to bring about greater equity in this society. And, you know, I don't think I would do this work without that foundation of where I come from.
So how does this background in education and activism translate into founding this organization? Please give us some information about the mission statement behind Brotherhood Sister Soul and what caused you to want to maybe perhaps abandon a lucrative career in order to start an activist organization dedicated to disenfranchised and disadvantaged children.
I think, you know, obviously growing up with the families, as we've described, the ultimate goal in life was never the dollar bill. It was more so around trying to lead a healthy life that aided in your own personal development, but also in those around you, in the society around you. And when we were at school, Kari and I both ended up at Brown University. And I think we both chose Brown University, one, because of its incredible academic excellence, but also because of its history of social struggles there, and the fact that there have been a lot of movements amongst the students on Brown's campus to create change. I know that inspired me in a lot of ways in wanting to go there. And while at Brown, both Kari and I were heavily involved in student politics, and I think both at a certain point got a bit turned off by dealing with some of the elitism that you find in a university such as Brown, and wanted to really work more in a local community with folks who are really struggling and dealing with some of the more real aspects of what it means to struggle in a society like ours. And so we started working on the south side of Providence, which is a heavily Black and Latino community, poor community, working class, in a community center there. And it was really through that work at the community center that this idea of creating the Brotherhood was developed. The community center had a program for young women, but there were a bunch of young men who were going to that community center really just to play basketball. And so they asked us to create something that would work with those young men. And this project, which was at that point just a college work study project, was really aimed at helping those young men to develop a broader understanding of the issues that affect their lives, to help them to think about what it was they wanted to do with their lives and to provide them with support and guidance and resources to do that. And so we created the Brotherhood there. And we did that for a year and really developed an incredibly strong relationship with those young men that exists to this day. And I think we both felt really passionate about the work that we were doing there. And so when we graduated and pulled ourselves away from Providence and came back home, one of the goals was, how can we begin to continue that work? How can we continue that legacy? And we were fortunate to find someone who was willing to give us some funding to back us to start a Brotherhood here in New York City. And it's grown ever since then into what it is today. But it was an opportunity to really pursue more of what our passion was, and to really fulfill, as Kari mentioned earlier, the feeling of a responsibility and obligation to give back to our communities.
This is Voices of Our World. If you're just joining us, we are exploring the complicated situation faced by inner-city children in America today, with Brotherhood Sister Soul co-founders Jason Warwin and Carrie Lazar White, and Associate Director Cedra Sebastian. The effects of racism and sexism on Black and Latino youth is immeasurable. The constant poverty, the lack of health care, and the poor access to quality education that continually perpetuate this cycle of disenfranchisement are all products of public policy that has historically put the needs of the poor and minorities last. Combine that with a consumer culture dedicated to turning women into sex objects and emphasizing wanton materialism, and it's easy to see how today's Black and Latino youth have it especially rough. We continue our discussion.
But God is sure gonna bless the child who's got his own. Yeah, who's got his own?
I find it interesting, though, when I see the charter that you deal with at-risk kids, so to speak. That term is used often for the kind of kids who are targeted or need programs like this. What are some of the factors that you find that these kids usually share to put them in risk in the first place?
We actually don't, as an organization, believe in using the term at risk in the way that much of society uses it. First of all, we believe that the vast majority of young people in this nation are at risk. That being said, what we feel is that there are additional pressures, additional forms of oppression that black and brown children face in this country, that people who are economically disadvantaged face in this country. And so here in New York and Harlem, that's reflected in our school system. We have 1.1 million children in the school system here in New York, and the school system was found to be unconstitutional 3 years ago because the educational level being provided to our children was so inferior, and that even those children who excelled above and beyond and received diplomas were not receiving 12th grade education, but receiving, in fact, an 8th grade education. That means that there is really an educational genocide being perpetrated against children here in this city, where they are not being given the skills to survive, and politically people are standing by. And clearly, if these were the children of the wealthy, of the entitled, the school system would be fixed. Then in addition to that, we face the street culture. We face the drugs and the violence in our community. Just yesterday, there were 80-100 police officers on this very block pursuing a young Latin man who had been selling drugs reportedly on the corner and had fired a shot. This block was taken over twice within the last week by a huge array of police officers. Children see this every day. And what does that do to the psyche of a child to grow up amidst that kind of violence, amidst police activity like that, amidst drugs like that? It's a very debilitating thing for any child, even if they don't get involved in that lifestyle. Just to see that every day and take that in some deranged way as the norm is very problematic. So you have negative influences in the school, you have negative influences on the block, and all too often we also have a lot of problems in our families, and this is something that we also need to talk about. We have young people becoming parents. We have a lack of parenting, of really teaching discipline and order and responsibility. And so these are issues that our children are being faced with. And one of the things that I think strikes us as an organization is not how many children succumb to these pressures, but the miracle of how many survive in spite of them. It's the unbelievable endurance of our children and the fortitude that they can come into a place like this, that they can learn at the end of the day, that they can seek to be better young people in spite of how we as a society and as adults have failed our children. They are our responsibility, and that they're forced to face these conditions is a reflection of us as adults and as a society, and not them, because we're not doing enough to provide support for our children.
What do you think? Is being a kid today harder or easier than in the past? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can also call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. You're listening to Voices of Our World.